House Judiciary meeting has come to order. It's supposed to meet at 1, but it's closer to 2, April 15th. Used to be tax day. I guess it's not. That goes a couple more days now.
Yeah.
Really?
Why?
I
wondered why, but we're okay. Present today are Representatives Lynn, Representative Keller, Representative Holmes, Vice Chair Thompson, and myself, Chair Gatto. Once again, turn off these little bloody appliances so they don't blow up while we're having a meeting.
Keep it out for the next bill, maybe.
Today's agenda is two bills. Senate Bill 15, Senator Meyer offered that one, sex offender / underage alcohol offense. And House Bill 22, Munoz, no cell phone use while driving. So we'll begin with the continuation where we left off of Senate Bill 15, sex offender. Christine, you're up and at it.
Chair Gatto, members of the House Judiciary Committee, my name is Christine Mercy, and I'm a staffer to Senator Kevin Meyer. Senator sends his apologies. He'll try to come in a bit later. You've heard Senate Bill 15 on Wednesday, and just to reiterate, this is to increase the penalties on registered sex offenders or child kidnappers who provide alcohol to people under 21 years of age. And I'm here for any questions, and we also have Annie Carpinetti from the Department of Law to answer any additional questions you may have.
Got it. And on the record, we've closed public testimony. We have Josie Garten, who is Alaska Public Defender, online for questions, if we have any. Shall we take a recess for you, Representative Holmes? I'm not sure.
Okay. Recess, Mr. Chairman, that sounds like fun. Actually, Mr. Chairman, if I may, my question was just, I know that Representative Grunberg had some questions at the prior meeting, and since he's not here, I was just curious whether those had been addressed in the intervening day or two.
They have, according to some conversations with my staff, that he asked the questions. I believe it was, if you look at page 1, line 9, it says, that involved a person. And his concern was whether it included mental states. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, if you had the time to look at all the references under 7A, I'm sorry, line 7, part A, notwithstanding ASO4, 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 et cetera, that issue he believes is already covered there. So that is my understanding that, we're joined by Senator Meyer. Pleasure. And that was his issue, and that has apparently been taken care of. And unless there's another issue, I believe we have dealt as far as we need to in dealing with this question of sex offenders and child kidnappers and violations.
So. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was helpful. Since there were questions on the record last meeting, I wanted to make sure that they were cleared up and everyone was happy.
We're still short two members, but... I believe it would be in our best interest if we had no more committee questions, and we've already closed public testimony. So any member of the committee have a question, so that this was the only reason, I believe, for holding it another day. Any
quick comment?
Comment. Representative Keller.
Thank you, Chair Gatto. Again, I think the thing that is the most convincing to me is the fiscal note that usually is just the opposite. But the fact that they're projecting 3.5 extra convictions, that's very, to me, that's the biggest endorsement you could have got. Thank you.
And that's good. It's good for me to make a comment on a fiscal note. We have a fiscal note from Department of Corrections, which started in the first year at $469,000 and ended in 2017 at $1.8 million. That fiscal note has been reduced to indeterminate. Apparently, as this went through, where did this get reduced? Senate Finance reduced it to indeterminate. We always wonder what indeterminate means, but since they have reduced it from a high number, that just have to go along that they must have had some information to allow them to reduce the number. So is there any further question on Committee substitute for Senate Bill 15, Judiciary.
Okay.
Even though there are two members absent, I think I will entertain a motion to move the bill from committee. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that CS for Senate Bill Number 15, Version 27-LS0119/E, move from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there an objection from the committee? Hearing and seeing none, the bill moves from committee as described. Let's take a brief recess for signing. Judiciary's back on the record. We've been joined by Representative Pruitt. We now have, we're just short one member from a full committee. We have before us House Bill 22, sponsored by Representative Munoz, and she has a staffer here, Kendra. We may be joined by some other people, but this is the first time we've heard this bill in this committee. And so, Representative Munoz, would you ID yourself and then proceed?
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Kathy Munoz. I'm representative for District 4 here in Juneau, and this is Kendra Kloster. And Kendra will walk you through the provisions of the bill. It's quite straightforward. I think you all have the bill before you. It's HB 22. It would ban the use of cell phones while driving. The bill has been amended through the process, and in the Transportation Committee, we added a provision to allow hands-free devices. The bill was further amended to address age limitations, that being drivers under 18 would not be allowed to use hands-free or regular phones while driving, but over 18-year-old drivers would. So would be allowed to use the hands-free devices.
Okay.
Kendra, would you like to talk about, Kendra has some background on the issue and can talk to the specifics of the bill.
Got it. Go ahead and put yourself on the record and talk to us.
Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Kathy Munoz. One of the reasons we, Kathy, Representative Munoz, had introduced this bill is we've heard a number of stories throughout the community, and even more so now that the bill was introduced, about individuals who have witnessed people on the phone and accidents that have happened. One individual here in town described a story of when he was on his motorcycle, a person was talking on their cell phone, did not see him, pulled out in front, and in order for him to not wreck with this person or hit them straight on, turned his bike and used his foot to stop the car, to stop himself. And actually the woman got mad at him for denting her car, which was quite interesting. So a number of stories have come out like that throughout Alaska, and we found this to be very much of a safety issue. Some studies have come out from the University of Utah which have shown that individuals who are on the cell phone are actually similar to impaired drunk drivers. This was put out by the University of Utah in the Journal of Human Factors and Ergonomics Society, if I can pronounce that correctly, and that should be in your packets. Some other things I have provided in your packet as well was testimony, studies, and a number of different articles that I've seen throughout the lower 48 there of individuals that have been killed because of people using their cell phone while they're driving. In Alaska, they did a 2010 highway safety phone survey that reported 61% of the people actually are talking on the cell phone while driving. And the basics of the bill, Representative Munoz did go over with you that in the Transportation Committee they did amend it so individuals under the age of 18 cannot use a cell phone at all. And then for individuals over the age of 18, they could use a hands-free device or a speakerphone. And many of the phones now do have that capability, or you can get a Bluetooth, which are the ones you know that have in your ears and you just push a button, or you can use. A lot of them also have the speaker device where you can say the number that you're calling and it will automatically call, and that was a number of questions that had come up in the other committee. So, and I'm available for any questions.
Let me just point you to page 2, line 3. Mm-hmm. It says, or talking by means of speaker function. Mm-hmm. If I'm driving and I lay the cell phone on the passenger seat and yell at it and listen to it, is that legal?
Yes, if you have your speaker device on.
No, I'm just laying my cell phone on the passenger seat. It says, or talking by means of a speaker function, comma, headset, comma, or earpiece. Mm-hmm. So speaker function stands alone in the description here. So I guess I'll go back to the question, if I lay it on the passenger seat next to me, can I yell at it and hope that I hear it?
Representative Gatto, yes, I guess you can yell at your phone on
there. Is that more distracting than holding it in your hand?
Well, Chair Gatto, one of the reasons we put in the hands-free device and the speaker device is for a number of commercial vehicles, and they need this in order to communicate with each other. So this was something that was worked on last year and then over the interim as well, so that was something that we felt like needed to be addressed in the bill so we weren't impeding the commercial drivers who do need to use this type of function. And there are a number of devices which, yes, you can use the speaker device, but there are things that you can do on your phone, so maybe it's not sitting on your passenger seat but more in front of you, and there are things that you can do for the cell phone.
The question probably can be answered with a yes or a no. Is it more distracting to leave it on the seat than it would be to hold it in your hand, or is it more distracting to I think you get the question. And that's,
I would
it's
say
really a yes or no.
The answer is yes. You could yell at your phone, but you would not be able to have a meaningful conversation because you would not be able to hear the speaker on the phone if it was sitting on your seat.
Right? Sure.
Representative Lynn?
I have my cell phone here, and I can call somebody, and you think you can press speaker, and I can mm-hmm. hear what the party is saying, and I can actually talk without touching the phone.
Right. Yeah. You can. Maybe not if you're in a truck, but so many cars are available that are reasonably quiet, and you don't have to lay it on the seat. Is it possible to use a tape to the dashboard? And the question is, back to this, which is more distracting, to do this or to keep moving your vision from straight ahead, which is what you would have if you held it to your ear, versus having to kind of yell at something that's attached, Velcroed, whatever way it got there?
Representative Gatto, I'd say both are distracting.
Okay, the question was, which is more distracting?
I don't know. I would just say both of those would be distracting, whether or not you're filling with your phone on your seat or whether or not you have it up to your ear and you're not really paying attention either, because I've seen a number of people with the phone up to their ear who are halfway in my lane.
Fair enough. You just made a sharp left turn, and the one that was on your seat just slid kind of off near the edge, and you reached over and grabbed it, and now we're positioning it. Wouldn't you say it's just less distracting when you're making your turn? You can just keep it in your hand and make your turn, and then you can put it back again. Just a second, make your turn, put it back. Wouldn't that be safer?
I don't think using cell phones at all while you're driving is safe.
I'm only interested in the question of safer or not as safe.
I guess if you have it on the seat and you're staring at your phone at the seat, that would be more distracting.
Okay. So you said all cell phones are unsafe. But in the bill, it doesn't deal with that. It says there are several ways you can use your cell phone. So we're allowing for some safety violations, but not others.
That is correct.
Thank you. It's really the whole question. Anyone else have a comment for Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of questions about the language of the bill and what's included and what's not. Lines 5 and 6 lay out, and 7 of page 1 lay out where we're talking about. It says you can't use a cellular telephone when driving a motor vehicle on a highway, vehicular way, or area. Does that include parking lots?
That's an excellent question, and I don't know the answer. I don't think so, not according to this language.
Because honestly, right. Mr. Chairman, most of my concerns are people who are trying to back out of their parking spaces and navigate in parking. So I guess when we have other people testify, maybe they can tell us more about that. A couple of others along these lines.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Driving. It says while driving a motor vehicle. does driving a motor vehicle mean that you have to be underway? Or does driving a motor vehicle mean you're sitting in the driver's seat with the car on? Because I think the if you're actually in park, then you ought to be able to use your, if you pull over on the side of the road, or you are still in a, sitting in your parking space and, you know, it's cold in Alaska and we get in our car and we turn on the car, or we get to where we're going but we want to, you know, have a conversation before we go in somewhere. Does driving include, you know, because I know for drunk driving often they say if you're sitting in the driver's seat with your car on, you're driving the motor vehicle and you can be taken, cited for drunk driving. So
in Sweden, if you approach your car with keys, mm-hmm. and you're still 10 feet away, that is an indication that you're in, they know you, what your intentions were. And you could say, I just wanted to sit in there and warm up. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm just also curious about what area means. Do we know?
Yeah, vehicular way or area.
7, line 7, page mm-hmm. 1. It's the only word on the line.
Well, first of all, to the answer, Representative Lindsay's question.
It happens all the time. I mean, I answer to lots of things.
Sorry about that. People call me Representative Kathy all the time, too.
It's good.
So that's funny. And that question came up in committee, and driving from the perspective of the law enforcement community is a moving vehicle, not a parked vehicle.
And, Mr. Chairman, I had one more along those lines. Where is the word using? Using a cellular phone, it may not use a cellular telephone.
Or use.
And then we go down to the exceptions of the hands-free. 18 years of age or older using a cellular phone by hands-free mode. My question is, that obviously includes talking. For instance, that's what I do. If I'm in my car, I've got a speaker function on my BlackBerry, so I always hit the speaker function. I actually, Mr. Chairman, tend to lay it in my lap, so I've got my hands free and I'm not looking over at anything, and they can still hear me and I can hear them. But talking on it is clearly covered by the definition of hands-free mode. But what about dialing or answering the phone, that sort of thing? Is that supposed to be covered by the definition
under the amendment?
Under the bill that's in front of us, yes.
Right, under the language pertaining to 18 and under?
Yes.
No manipulation of the phone would be allowed under this language.
Oh, so you wouldn't be allowed to dial.
For 18 or under.
So, Mr. Chairman, my question would be, how do you dial or answer the phone?
You have to.
You would have to, I believe, start and end. You wouldn't even be able to push the off button to end the call.
The prohibition to use on 18 and under applies to the hands-free device as well. So it implies that no use would be allowed for 18 and under.
Sorry, what I meant. Sorry, I meant 18 and older. Sorry.
Oh, 18 and older. Okay.
Sorry. Yes, I understand. Sorry. For if you're under age 18, you can't use one at all except for emergency purposes. For people who are 18 or older, how would that work? I mean, it's clear that I can talk on the phone using speakerphone, but am I allowed to dial?
We had this conversation in the committee as well, and in transportation. And as I recall the conversation, the interpretation was that manipulation, dialing, or touching your device would be allowable. But I think we need to have further clarity from the Department of Law on that.
Thank you.
Representative Thompson?
I'll come back later.
Okay. Representative Keller?
Thank you, Chair Gatto. I was wondering, did you intend on the prohibition to include any other, all uses of the cell phone? The reason I'm asking, of course, is that that's a moving target, what they can do. I mean, some have GPS capability and whatever. So you're saying that this prohibition, as I read it, it doesn't matter what you're doing with it. In fact, some have a flashlight, you can. And so that use would be prohibited also, right? I mean, under the with the language.
Are you talking about the language for 18 and under? Or
no, in general, on page 1, line 6.
The intent, I'll tell you, is to focus on the function, the phone function, and not other gadgets that may be included in new technology. The specific focus of this legislation is on the use and manipulation of phone use.
Just a quick follow-up on that. It could be argued that it's more distracting to use some of the other functions than it would be the cell phones if we're talking.
And a comment on that, if you don't mind, Chair Gatto.
Please.
Representative Keller, Cindy Cashin should be on the line, and she actually has a number of different documents and information that we can provide to you about. They've done a number of studies on whether using the radio or a GPS system, and actually has talked about the different kind of brain functions it used to use a cell phone and compared to a radio and the different studies that they have done on that. And so what they've shown is what looking at crash records and things of that nature, that cell phones cause more crashes rather than just a radio or GPS. So this is so that's some information that she'll be able to provide to you.
On that question, just clarification, is there a difference between using a cell phone and talking, from what you're saying? I mean, if you're talking with a passenger in the back seat as you're driving down the road, I wonder.
Representative Keller, through the chair, yes, they did say that's actually different, that it's more distracting to talk on a cell phone.
Thank you.
Representative Pruitt?
Thank you. And I just want to kind of add, being that I was, I think the only, Representative Gruenberg was there, the only one that was in the last committee meeting. And I think as my understanding was that you could not dial, and you can correct me, and I think even the department was there, you could not dial or hang up the phone. You'd have to use your, you could answer using your Bluetooth, or if it has the voice-activated system, that whether it's through your car, the sync like Ford has, or through your phone. But you couldn't actually, you can't dial it unless it's attached to your car. And attached meant, according to, and this was Representative Gruenberg was speaking to it, attached could mean by definition either somehow attached to it on your dashboard, or attached being that it's through the car system, or I think even one discussion point was, I think Representative Johnson asked if it was attached to the seat beside him, I think was what it was. But if I recall, and I just want to make sure that we're clear on this, you would not be able to dial, you would have to be able to either speak to it, or you would have to use your hands-free device somehow to answer or to be able to call out.
You bring up an interesting point.
Yeah, and that is, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I think that's an interesting point. And I do also think that we need further clarity. And as we continue to work on this issue, that is one that we definitely need to zero in on. And I really appreciate you bringing that
up. Mr. Chairman, that's an important distinction.
If you are electronically connected to your cell phone and you actually have to touch something in your ear or somewhere else, is that different than touching something on your phone? You got an off button on your phone, or a delete, or an end call is a button, and your ear is a button. How are they, if it's really an electronic device, how are they different?
I could just speak from my own experience. I think it's easier to manipulate something that's hands-free than to try to manipulate an object.
That's not hands-free.
In your hand.
Don't you have to?
I mean, that doesn't have a separate dialing mechanism, if you will. It's done activated by touch. I think that, from my perspective, that's an easier.
It is easier.
Piece of equipment to work
so,
with.
So it's not a 100% requirement. That you can't touch your phone. It depends on if it's easier or not as easy. Or
well, as you know, this allows hands-free devices, and so as such, you would be able to manipulate a hands-free device.
Is that a hands-free device if you actually use your hand?
Well, that's a good the interpretation. My understanding is that it is.
Okay. Representative Lynn.
Thank you very much. Actually, on this touching ear, when I can think of it, I wear a hearing aid, and I can touch a little button up here. I make it low, medium, or high, depending on the volume of who's speaking out here. So I'm actually doing this, even do that when I'm driving. I hope nothing out would outlaw my being able to do that. But going on to what I originally
We won't ask Marlene.
Yeah, we won't ask my wife here. I'm glad Representative Gruenberg is back because I don't know how long ago it was, 2, 3, 4 years ago, Representative Gruenberg had a very good bill which heard in the committee. I believe it eventually passed the legislature, where you can't have a device in your vehicle that you can read. And how'd that go? While you are driving, there was an accident down on
DVD.
Or a DVD. But you know, my cell phone has a texting.
You're not allowed to do that.
That's matter on.
That's against the law.
That's currently against the law.
That's currently against the law.
Same thing.
So then, if I'm using my cell phone, you know, I could in fact text if I. No, I don't text at all.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
See, but this is interesting because it was Representative Gruenberg and I that passed the law
right. That
said you may not have a screen, a display, where the driver can see it. That meant you could have it in the back seat, you could have it, the passenger could have it if they don't let the driver see it. And it came about because somebody was watching a movie. And he, of course, denied it. But he ran into a car, killed two people. And it was, the passenger said, of course he was watching the movie, I was there. But he couldn't be convicted of that. So we said, the only real solution to that is to say you may not have a screen visible to the driver. And then it wouldn't matter if it was off. It just can't be visible to the driver. So he didn't have to be watching the movie the way the bill was passed. Then we discovered difficulties with the bill. Had to pass a second bill exempting utility truck drivers who needed a screen to send them where the power line was leaning across the road. I think fire trucks were already covered, but we had to cover some more drivers that needed a screen because they needed to be called on an emergency to respond. Gas company drivers, meter readers who could turn something off in the event of an emergency. So we've had an evolution of dealing with screens. Now, the question came up then from Senator French, what about my cell phone? And we would have never passed the bill if we'd included cell phones. Mm-hmm. Would not have passed. So we deleted cell phones.
We were in the same committee, the three of us.
Yeah.
And you brought, when we wanted to do that, when I brought that up, you said no. And you were the co-prime with me. And so the bill didn't go any. It was anti-text messaging. But we very specifically didn't do it for cell phones.
Yeah. Well, I can go onto here and go onto YouTube and watch some YouTube videos if I wanted to do so, either here or in the car or wherever. I don't do that, of course.
And under our no screen visible to the driver, excluding cell phones, you could have watched a whole movie on your cell phone because that was the only way we got it through. So we kind of thought this would come up again, where the cell phone bill would come as a standalone bill. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the texting bill, I don't remember when that passed, but we have...
No, that was part of the same bill.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
There have only been the two bills. One was the main bill, and then there was the fix-it for utilities. A year later, we you and I did both of them.
Okay. So here we are, facing the cell phone bill. And, of course, you can probably tell Representative Gruenberg has joined us. We have the full committee. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of concerns I have with language. One is, if you can talk on your cell phone using a hands-free device, but you can't dial or even answer or hang up the call, that causes problems for me. So mm-hmm. I'll put that right out while we're clarifying what it does and doesn't do. But while we're throwing out issues, a person may not use a cellular telephone. Following up on what Representative Lynn was saying, we had a lot of discussion, as I recall, when we were talking about the no texting and no watching movies while driving bills, about the fact that there are certain people who have, for instance, an iPhone that is actually mounted on a device and actually tied into their stereo and is actually their radio, and that's where their music comes from, and use a cellular telephone. It doesn't say may not talk on a cellular telephone. It says use. So the question is this going to – we specifically exempted that the last time around because we wanted people to be able – all the new move is for people to have their iPhones be able to be mounted on something and tied into their stereo system, and we didn't want to prohibit that. This would, I believe, prohibit that use while driving. And I don't know if that's the intent or not, but under this language, I believe we would prohibit that activity.
That was not the intent.
Okay. I didn't think so, but welcome to House Judiciary.
We don't kid around. Words, details, intents are not nearly as important as clarity of the language.
That's
so
true.
Representative Keller has a question for you.
I thought of this question when Kendra was talking about the studies out there, but are there any studies that show empirically that prohibitions actually cut the number of accidents?
Representative Keller, I can definitely get back to you on that and find out that information for you.
And if we're going to ask, did they extend the study to include hot and cold drinks, hamburgers,
makeup holding
three dogs on your lap, which is probably legitimate, but I've seen
three dog night.
Three small dogs.
Dog night.
I've seen the three that small dogs. It just amazed me that you can put one in your arm that's leaning here and looking out the window, one in your lap that might be sleeping, or two, providing they're about 6 pounds each. And I've seen people drive quite comfortably with the one arm. Believe me, they're not going to answer the cell phone. But that they're distracted. To me, hot liquids, we've all had that. How about a cigarette? Drop the cigarette on your lap. So the Utah study dealt with single subject, and that was cell phones.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Grunberg.
Do we have Cindy Cashin around?
She is all the way online.
Well, I think she can maybe, she is the National Highway Transportation Safety person, and she has all the answers. If we could ask that question.
Do you have a question for her? Do you have a question for Cindy?
Well, I think that she could answer the question on the studies that you asked Kendra a minute ago. She is our resource. She's our helpline.
And she's online, but we have a couple people right here in the audience that I'm going to get to first, assuming the committee is finished with its interrogation.
I apologize. I was trying to get a little 10-pound dog somewhere, so he was off my lap, though, but he was on his cell phone.
Was he distracted?
No, he's in the back seat, actually. That's where he goes.
Well, that scares me.
Okay. But anyway, the question on using, it was definitely, and I hope that I'm speaking for a sponsor here. We're trying to run this bill ourselves, I think, here a little bit together. You have to be able to dial and to turn it on. That's not within the term use as we mean it here. It's you're not supposed to hold it up and be talking into it and listening to it there. It could be with an earplug, or it could be mounted on the dash. An incidental turn on or something like that, or a turn off, was not what we meant within the term use. And I don't think that's the way it ought to be interpreted. And if the committee or you think that we need to define that better, I mean, I'd certainly consider that a friendly amendment. Nobody has really had a heartburn on that so far. But if you think that's a misinterpretation, we certainly can deal with that.
I'm going to call up Don Smith, so one of you is going to have to give up a seat.
Glad to do so.
Don? I mean, you signed up here. It didn't say want to testify. It didn't say doesn't want to testify. He signed up as questions only.
Can you come up?
I have a question.
I have a question for him.
For who?
DOT.
Okay. And that, lucky you. Okay. We need you to sign in and definitely give us your affiliation.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Bodison. I'm the Director of Program Development at the Department of Transportation, and in that capacity, the Highway Safety Office run by Cindy Cashin is a component of my division. So I'm really here as a stand-in for Cindy because she has to be in Soldotna, beautiful Soldotna, Representative Keller, at a highway safety meeting today. So. I understand.
So you don't have prepared testimony.
I don't have prepared testimony. I will say this: your comments thus far indicate how complicated this subject matter of distracted driving is, in particular when you add the permutations of technology that seem to come out ever faster. And so, it's a complicated field, and there's a lot of permutations. I mean, I just read this week that iPads are soon going to have a telephone function built into them in the next generation. So you'll have another thing to think about. On a personal note, since 2008, I've been in two accidents involving a driver using a cell phone. In both cases, they ran into the back of me. In both cases, they were in a small, compact vehicle. I was in a full-size vehicle, and the full-size vehicle was destroyed, as was the compact in both cases. So I kind of comfort this personally. It's pretty scary when it happens.
Well, I was run into by a teenager in a pickup who wasn't on a cell phone. It happens.
Yep.
Representative Pruitt has a question for you.
Yeah, I think I asked this in transportation, but I wanted to make sure that we clarified it here as well. Motor vehicle. Does motor vehicle, and I know the answer to a couple of these, does motor vehicle include a boat?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, I would probably not be the expert here on Department of Law or Public Safety, but I believe it does.
Okay. Would motor vehicle include a snow machine?
That would be more complicated because but I'd have to ask. I don't know.
Okay. A riding lawnmower.
A what?
Same answer.
Riding lawnmower.
Oh, riding lawnmower.
Golf cart?
A golf cart.
Same answer.
Yeah, in the last committee, we had positive responses that a motor vehicle would be considered an ATV, riding lawnmower. Those things were considered motor vehicle in that sense. So if I'm golfing, I'm not allowed to talk on my phone.
How about if your golf cart is electrically powered? Is it still a motor vehicle?
I love Carl.
Motors are motors.
I hate myself sometimes.
These are all good questions, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Pruitt, have you completed your question?
No, I just was trying to make sure that we clarified that motor vehicle means more than just what we typically think of with motor vehicle. You know, an item that's going to, something that's going to be on a...
I have one more.
So please go ahead.
Airplane.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think any of these later examples would also be on a vehicular way. That might be the... Because it is a kind of a dual definition, driving a motor vehicle on a vehicular way or highway.
I will step in. I'll use an example. I've been to the Valley many times and right on a road where a four-wheeler was flying down that same road. So I don't know that would necessarily – I understand what you're saying. They're not typically on a road, but you do see them out there doing that. So,
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, Mr. Edison, if you know – the definition of a vehicular way or area.
Through the chair, Representative Holmes, I don't know the exact definition, but you know, until they added that word area, to me it was pretty clear that it would be a public highway or the right-of-way associated with a public highway. I know, for example, when we have to report fatalities, that if it's a fatality on a public road involving a non-vehicle, that is a four-wheeler, or last year we had a skateboardist die, those are fatalities that are considered highway fatalities. But when they happen in a parking lot or when they happen out, you know, on someone's back 40, no, they're not highway fatalities.
So my paved driveway?
That would not be a highway.
But Mr. Chairman.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But follow up, what you're saying is you're not entirely sure you're sure that that's not covered by a highway or a vehicular way, but we're not sure what a vehicular area is, so that would need to be clarified.
Correct, through the chair. And I think those are questions for the bill drafting attorneys.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to go with your earlier comment that this is, you think you used the word complicated. We can, around the committee, this is a pretty skilled committee. You just have trouble sneaking a word past the committee without somebody here challenging it. So it's kind of fun, and at the same time, it's stressful. So Representative Gruenberg?
Yeah, so there's no question. We are in the process of duplicating the definitions. And a motor vehicle is a motor-driven vehicle. And a vehicle is defined as... A conveyance that is motor driven, it means it has to be powered, not bicycle or foot powered, not like roller skates. A motor driven vehicle is defined as something that's capable of being driven on a road, basically. And the definition of highway, I forgot the exact term, the vehicular path, I think you used. That's also part of the definition, but we're getting the exact language of the statute so that you can see exactly what the law is.
Well, I'm going to try to push a little bit here, so can we get Don Smith to come up here?
I have a question for
you. Oh, I'm sorry. Before you come up, Don, we have Representative Thompson has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Otteson, I think this is more of a Department of Law, probably, or the Public Safety Department. But, you know, the area thing really does bother me. I mean, you're in a parking lot because there's so many variations of that right now at the present. I know that a lot of the local city police departments, if there's a little fender bender in a parking lot, they won't respond because it didn't happen on a city street or a state highway. At the same time, if somebody's sitting in their vehicle in a parking lot, not driving, but sitting in their vehicle in a parking lot, they can be arrested by a police officer for a DUI. So there's a lot of confusion about the area, and or area here kind of bothers me because there's so many different definitions for it. I'd like to see that clarified a little bit. And then I had another question, but it's left me.
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, I believe both examples you gave are pretty accurate. I'm aware of both those circumstances. It is complicated.
Thank you. This is the fourth time you've been excused, so good job. Don Smith, kind of put yourself on the record. Give us your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Don Smith. I am a member of the Anchorage School Board in Anchorage, but I'm here speaking on my behalf, or as an Alaskan and an individual. I had the privilege from the fall of 2003 until the in fall or November of 2005 to be the administrator of the Alaska Highway Safety Office. I worked under Jeff in that capacity, similar as Cindy's now holding that same position. When I first came on board the Highway Safety Office, and this is going to relate to this bill, but I got a call from the Federal Highway Safety Office here in Juneau, and they told me there'd been an accident out the highway beyond the airport, and would I like to ride along with them and go out and look at the crash site? And I said, certainly, I'd like to do that. So we drove out, and there was an automobile that was being driven by a 16-year-old boy, had two young girls, I think, in the front, well, no, two young girls in the car. None were wearing seatbelts. The kid was driving just absolutely stupid, speeding, and it's that cliff, rocky area out the highway, and lost control of the car, went into the cliff, and eventually rolled a couple of times, ended up in the other lane upside down. The boy was killed, and the two girls, one was paralyzed from, I believe...
Is this going to be about cell phones?
It is.
Well, let's kind of get to the point then.
Well, I was like a lot of people in politics when I got that job, and I sort of dismissed the concept of seat belts, and I dismissed the concept of cell phones. And I never really actually thought about it. And when I took that job and saw this and realized that because those three young kids, 16 and 15 and I believe 14, totally ruined their lives over the fact that they blew off the idea that they should be belted up. And what I'm getting to is cell phones. When I came on board in 2003, Alaska was averaging 100 to 110 deaths per year from not wearing seatbelts, documented. I got involved in trying to get that law passed, similar as what's going on here now with the cell phone. We documented as an agency.
Just making seatbelts a primary offense?
That's right, making it a primary offense. Senator Bundy's bill. I was involved, as a supporter of it. When I left that job in 2005, our average now is running about 50 deaths per year because people know that seatbelts have to be used. not that we ticket everybody that drives the car and doesn't have a seatbelt on, but people know that they're supposed to buckle up, and it's proved that it's saved, I'm guessing, 300 lives since I left that job, and not because of me, but 300 lives in Alaska have been spared, I believe, because of that law being passed. Now, I'm not privy to the stats, you know, the statistics any longer. I've been out of the office for 6 years. But I know that there's plenty of data in Cindy's office that she can get her hands on through the National Highway Safety Office so that you can get some statistics and information that you're asking. I would recommend that you put this bill over and ask the Department of Transportation and the Highway Safety Office to do some in-depth looks at this issue, because I believe, I know that when I was in charge of the Highway Safety Department, we did several times a year, we had a contractor that went out and they stood on intersections and they visually looked to see how many people passing were wearing seatbelts. And that same thing, maybe not the same way, but there's got to be a way that they could find out what percentage of people are driving down the street. I see hundreds, you know, in a week's time in Anchorage that are clearly just holding a cell phone and talking. I did discuss this bill with school board members. We didn't take a formal position, but the school board supports the concept, particularly when it comes to children, young kids that are, you know, driving. But I really would encourage you to ask the Highway Safety Office to do a little study. I know they have access to federal highway safety money, and they could do some kind of a review for you that would bring it more into focus and maybe identify some of the areas. Maybe you want to change the bill a little bit, but I think we'd save a lot of lives. And I'll bet you the statistics. I know that the department, every wreck that occurs in the state of Alaska has data associated with it, and I'll bet you they can pull up with a computer and show you where there's this activity is going on and it's causing people to be injured or to die. So I'm in support of it, but I think it needs a lot more work just from what I've heard today.
Okay. Thank you. And I guess for the record, anyone who wants to do research on finding out whether cell phones are a threat can do that without referring back to what the ruling is on this committee. So I'm going to go to off-net now. Cindy Cashin, your name has come up several times. Welcome to Judiciary if you're hearing me.
Yes, I'm listening in.
And where are you now?
I'm in Soldotna.
Not in your car, correct?
Actually, I'm in Captain Hans Brinke's car.
Okay. So go ahead and put yourself on the record and give us your testimony. Actually, you didn't offer testimony. It said available for questions. Did you want to remain available for questions or actually give testimony?
I want to be available for questions, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that have already been asked or those that are still with the committee.
Got it. Questions for Cindy. Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Cindy. Can you tell me the difference between current laws on distracted driving and what we are working on here?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, do you mean what Alaska's current statute is and what this bill would do?
Yes. Just help me understand. I mean, we're talking about distracted driving in a form is kind of what I'm getting out of this. What do we currently have out there, and how would this change that, or are we duplicating?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, currently there's a law against using television or DVD in your car while you're operating a motor vehicle, and the law, the intent of the law also deals with texting, although we're having some problems with some of the judges in Alaska dismissing cases of texting. HB 22 would make it so that teenagers, 18 and younger, would not be able to use any type of handheld or hands-free device while operating a motor vehicle, and adults would be banned from using handheld device while operating a motor vehicle, except in certain cases like emergency or enforcement.
Further questions? Representative Pruitt?
Yeah, and not really. I don't think we connected on what I was trying to ask there. Right now, if someone were to be on their phone and rear-end someone else, I would, and again, I'm assuming here that they would probably, we would charge them for distracted driving, something to that effect. How does
Mr.
this?
Chair, Representative. Oh.
Go ahead.
No, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I was just going to say, I'm trying to, if that's currently, if it's already illegal to be distracted while driving, which I think is what we're trying to avoid here, is people being distracted. They just happen to be distracted and utilizing their phone at the same time. Are we duplicating? Right now, they would be charged for distracted driving. Then they would just be charged for you'd just be charged for using your phone. Period. I think we're trying to get at if you're going to be distracted and you're going to cause accidents, then you're breaking the law. But here we're kind of going a little bit beyond that. And I'm trying to figure out what is the difference. What is the difference if you're going to get charged now with distracted driving when you hit someone, and here, where it's distracted driving if you hit someone. I'm trying to understand. I'm just trying to find the duplication there, and trying to clarify the two.
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, that would be a question best asked for law enforcement. Currently, there is, I believe, I'm not even going to attempt to answer it. I think that would be a question best asked for law enforcement.
Oh, thank you.
Representative Grunberg?
Yes. That was a question that came up in transportation, as you may recall. And it's the core question that was at the heart of the anti-text messaging bill, too. You're going to have to show under current law that, in fact, the prosecution will have to show that under the current law that the defendant was, in fact, distracted, that not only were they using the cell phone, but that it in fact distracted her. This will make it an offense per se to be using the cell phone. And it's a much simpler, cleaner burden of proof. So, and it will make a lot of difference.
So it says if you're using your cell phone, you're distracted.
As a matter of law.
But if you're eating a hamburger and you've got a cup of pop in your left hand and a dog on your lap, you're not distracted.
No, not true. They have to show that it distracted you.
Okay.
Now, you know,
hard to do.
As a practical matter, people, and we dealt with this in the Committee on Suggested State Legislation at the CSG, it's much more difficult to get a general distracted driving bill through like this. It's the other legislatures that have done it have proceeded incrementally, mm-hmm. like we've done. And may I ask Ms. Cashin a question, please?
Sure.
This is, Ms. Cashin, this is the first time I've heard of judges refusing or not applying that text messaging bill. And I know that you got the two sponsors on the bill here and other people who hopefully think it's a good idea. Tell me what's happening. Why are they refusing to apply it? What's going on, if I may ask
Through
that
the chair, Representative Grunberg. I'm glad you asked me that question because this is one of the benefits of having a traffic safety resource prosecutor in the state of Alaska and the municipality of Anchorage. I also happen to be sitting in the car with the traffic safety resource prosecutor for the municipality of Anchorage, and these prosecutors bring it to our attention when there's areas of concern as far as adjudication. And what's currently taking place is there's a couple of judges in Alaska who are dismissing traffic citations dealing with cell phone usage because they're interpreting the current statute differently than how, you know, the legislature interpreted it.
Mr. Chair?
You have a follow-up?
If I may, I'm concerned. Say again?
How are they interpreting it?
Yeah, how are they interpreting it? And if they're misinterpreting it, is the prosecutor appealing to the Superior Court, from the District Court to the Superior Court?
Is that a different topic?
Say again?
Through the chair, Representative Groomberg, I would suggest that perhaps we discuss this with the Department of Law so that we can get into the specifics of the problem and perhaps look at rectifying it.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to say that's quite a separate problem from the question we have in front of us right now.
Right.
So, Cindy, thanks for your testimony. We have Rick Diesling. Rick, are you online?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, we hear you loud and clear. Just give us your affiliation as well as your name.
My name is Rick Diesling. I'm a 58-year-old male. I'm not affiliated with anybody. I'm calling on behalf of myself and a few incidents that happened here in Juneau while riding my motorcycle and almost being taken out by people that are on cell phones.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay. So last year I was driving along coming out of the Juneau Empire parking lot, driving up that road, and out of the DOT building pulls a car right in front of me. I was on my Harley Davidson. I had to downshift, slam my brake on. I slid sideways almost into the car, and the person that was driving the car had a cell phone in their left hand blocking their view and talking. And luckily for me that I was an experienced rider, that I didn't crash my bike, but I did scream at this person, and all they're doing is saying, "I'm sorry." You know, just that particular event kind of really shook me up, knowing that it could have been my last event riding a motorcycle. And then a few weeks later, riding down Egan, going northbound, I had a car veer over and come right into me, not seeing out of their rearview mirror because they had a cell phone in their left hand. This has happened on many different occasions while driving. On my bicycle, I've almost had that happen. I do own a cell phone. I do not use it in my car. If I want to use my cell phone, I'll use it when I pull over or when I'm somewhere else. So I really highly urge you all to take this matter very serious, that there's been a lot of people that's been killed because of cell phone usage while driving. And, you know, I just want to be upfront and want you to know that this is a very serious offense. And I don't know if any of you in that room right now has had anything happen like this, but when it does, it will shake you right to your foundation of your soul.
Okay. Thanks for your testimony. Sorry about your problems, but you did survive them, and I think that's great.
Well, I survived them only because I have good reactions. I've never had a moving violation, I want you to know, in my whole adult life. So I take driving very seriously. I think that we all are held accountable for our actions on the road. And if you have a cell phone in your hand and you kill somebody, you know, I don't know where you're going to end up with that, but not going to be a good day.
Okay. Appreciate your testimony. Anyone else online want to testify? Hearing none, anyone in the audience want to testify? Close public testimony, bring it back before the committee. Any more comments from the committee? Seeing and hearing none. Did you have a comment, Representative Keller?
With all respect for the sponsor and for those that have been hurt by people that have been distracted by using cell phones, I just want to comment that it disrespects the person that is driving. There's so many ways to be distracted, and if I thought that writing a law like this would really solve the problem, you know, then I could be enthused. But you just take this one thing, cell phones. Using a cell phone on a slippery road on a dark night is so different than using a cell phone on the Egan Drive, low traffic in the afternoon, you know, and to write a law that restricts everything all the time. It's just way too much for me. I just can't go there. So.
And like you, I believe we need to also consider that cell phones save lives. There are any number of instances where cell phone has been instrumental in calling mom and dad and saying, "Come and get me." And it was always done, seems like, on a cell phone. Representative Lynn?
Thank you. I'd like to underline the remarks that the previous two committee members have made, and I think we can all agree that this bill is very well intended. All of us are in favor of safe driving. Driving, like most other daily activities, is inherently dangerous. Driving does involve multitasking. And I've just got to say that if you can't multitask and drive at the same time, maybe you shouldn't be driving at all. And, of course, there's already legislation we heard about today that addresses distracted driving. If we pass this bill, it makes me wonder how many other what I would call nanny state legislation could come before us. You know, the radio, the CD, the GPS, ignoring your spouse. That's inherently dangerous. I'm here to tell you that. And yes, I do use my cell phone from time to time while on the road. And when one of these cell phone calls came in, I don't know if it's about personal business, it could be about legislative business, or it could be an emergency call from home. And I'm going to answer it and do what talk necessary. Sometimes I answer the phone, pull over, continue the conversation. Sometimes I don't. It depends on how much is involved there. But again, I do believe this bill is well intentioned, but in its present form, at least, I can't support it.
Any more comments?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's no doubt that distracted drivers cause a lot of vehicle accidents, but there's many distractions we have. If this bill was for 18 and under, I would definitely, the complete ban, I would definitely support it completely, but I think that we have quite a few questions on it and quite a few things that I don't feel comfortable with. So I'm not going to support moving it on from committee at this time.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to echo exactly what Representative Thompson just said. I think there's a lot of questions that were brought up today, a lot of good questions, and I would I'm definitely not ready to move the bill today. I think there's some questions still outstanding.
It's my intention to take a vote on the bill. I think the bill can be reintroduced in a form with all the corrections sometime later on as a new bill with a new number, but for now I'd like to settle this today. So if there are no other questions from the committee, I'd like to bring it to a vote. Representative Thompson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that CS for House Bill number 22, version 27-LS0155-I, be advanced from committee with individual recommendations and fiscal note.
And there is an objection. Susan, would you take the roll?
Representative Holmes.
Pass.
Representative Lynn.
No.
Representative Keller.
No.
Representative Pruitt.
No.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Gruenberg.
Yes.
Representative Gatto.
No.
Thank you, sir.
That leaves, though.
Representative Holmes.
No.
One yes, six no.
Thank you. So with one yes, six no's, we've closed down the conversation on House Bill 22, and this meeting is adjourned.
Before you leave.